All-Star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are we doing? When it maybe we should just stop right there and open up the phones. What are we doing? It's Jason. Welcome to Drive Time. Maybe you should guess, like, what am I talking about? Is that a quality opening topic? What are we doing? Fill in the blank. Your thoughts. I'm afraid to open up the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line to that question. 651-461-9226. No, it's the light rail that has me asking the question, what are we doing? Are you like me? Would you like to just cancel the new light rail line that's supposed to go from Brooklyn Park to the North Loop in downtown Minneapolis? 651-461-9226. Or have you been... are you somebody who's been excited about this? And then I will try my best to squash your excitement. I like transit. I like the light rail. I think we actually underspend in this area. We spend a lot of money on roads because we got to have trucks moving stuff around, commerce going from state to state. We spend some money on buses and on transit. I wish we would spend more. And that said, the latest news story, which is pretty minor in the scheme of things, in the Star Tribune, talking about a bunch of utility lines, a bunch of power lines in the North Loop that are going to need to be moved. And this is sort of how these massive projects go, right? You sort of sketch it out. Some people say, we don't want it here. Other people say, well, we don't want it here. And everyone, of course, says, we don't want it. And then as you go through the process, you're like, oh, it turns out we got to move these lines or do this. And then $3, $4, $5, $6, $10, $20 billion later, you have the Southwest Light Rail Line. To me, the Southwest Light Rail Line, the biggest public works project in the history of the state, the longest running, the biggest debacle, is an absolute warning sign, but not a disqualifier for me for building another light rail line. The disqualifier for me is that the world isn't the world of the year 2000, of even the year 2010, or even the year 2020. We don't all go to work downtown. The idea of a fixed line taking you from the suburbs, bringing you into the urban core, it feels like a heck of a lot of money for people to get to a Twins game or a concert. And I think you could probably go to people's houses and pick them up for less money than we would spend on this. 651-461-9226. Let's talk to Dwayne in Golden Valley. And I live in Maple Grove. Like, theoretically, I could benefit from this light rail line, but I just don't think it makes any sense. Dwayne, what do you think?
Good afternoon, sir. Ever since the state started dealing with this light rail system stuff, I don't believe there's ever been anybody that can come up with a scenario where any of these lines would ever pay for themselves. It's just throwing money in a rat hole.
Well,
your idea of dropping one, that's pretty sane as far as people in Minnesota are concerned.
And I think, Dwayne, when I look at transit, sometimes I think we look at this stuff wrong, right? Like, we look at it like it's got to break even, like fares or whatever. And I wouldn't mind the expenditure if I thought there would be a consummate public benefit, right? So whether it's like new development around it, would it stimulate new jobs, new companies to move here? Would it, would there be a public benefit? I would be interested in. I just don't think we operate this way anymore. We need more flexible transportation systems for people. And to me, just put it, and I get it, like I would ride a train 10 times more than I would ride a bus. And is that logical? No. But is it real? Yes. That said, should you build me a train? No. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'll give you your own personal helicopter and fly back and forth.
Yeah. Well, that might
makes just about as much sense.
I think you're onto something. Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate it. The latest headline. And again, like, you have to be careful about these things, right? Because with the Southwest Light Rail Line, you had this problem of this tunnel being built in the Lowry Hill neighborhood because for a foolish reason, we didn't run the light rail right through Uptown, which is what we should have done. That was on the table 10 years before they made a decision to not run it through Uptown and instead try to use an existing right of way. We're always trying to save money with these projects that end up costing us more money. So learning that, I guess what I want to know is, like, how do we stop this? Like, does anyone want it? If you want this light rail line, I'd like to hear about it, because the latest headlines have been we don't want the light rail down Broadway. We don't want to displace businesses or homeowners in that area. It's all we don't want, we don't want. And so as the we, like, how do we stop it? How do we stop it? 651-461-9226. Let's go to Nick in Roseville. Nick, you're on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text Line. Good to talk to you again, Nick. What do you think about this?
Thank you, Jason. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Now, I'm in Roseville, and I'm blind, and I take Metro. It's called Metro Mobility. And they just pick me up right at my house or apartment, in my case, and let's just pretend that I were going to Target Field. And then I hope you wouldn't think I was crazy if you ever went to a Twins game and met me and said, oh, I'm waiting for a Metro ride, Jason.
Right, right.
I guess what I'm saying is I like to interact with people, and I have never interacted with any of the train drivers or whatever they call those guys. I've interacted with Metro drivers. I've interacted with city bus drivers. I've interacted with taxi drivers and all those, but I don't even know where the guy that runs the train is on the light rail. And I can remember making a train, building, what you remember when you were a little kid and you would have those Fisher Price train sets, or I think they call them Fisher Price. I made those, and I had a great time, and I even had pretend people that I could put
you're
in
pro,
the train.
You're pro train. I get it. Thanks, Nick. Let's talk to Michael in Minneapolis. Michael's on the stylesfinancial.com talk line, 651-461-9226. Michael, do you want this new blue line?
Yes. I think a lot of people, you know, what's it doing for us now? It costs a heck of a lot of money, but I'm someone who, I grew up in North Minneapolis, but I lived probably about 6 years in Japan, 6 or 7 years, where you could ride anywhere in that country on a train, and it was so convenient, and you didn't need a car. And you here, it's going to take time to expand it and stuff, but if you really want the ability to get around without having to have a car, without having to take buses all the time, the train's the way to go. Now, have they made great decisions? No. And have they ran overrun and so forth? But I believe that it's you're going to be able to expand the city and the suburbs by building a system. Now, again, it's going to take time. It's going to take years.
Yeah, I hear you on that, Michael. Like, you do feel like if we don't build out a system, that then we've sort of wasted this opportunity with the rest of the light rail that we already have. My concern is that, the line from downtown Minneapolis to St. Paul, and then the line that goes to the airport and Mall of America, we sort of built those as economic development lines. There's so many stops. It's not very effective, fast transportation. There's no real express scenario for people. That, right. And I'm not saying that's not a benefit. Like, the benefit has been huge. You just go up and down those lines and you see all the new housing and all of that and say, like, all right, well, this has been good. I worry a little bit about, okay, if we build that line from Brooklyn Park, and obviously we're going to finish the Southwest line out to Eden Prairie, is the Brooklyn Park line really, is it going to take cars off the road or not? I don't know. I worry about it.
And I agree with you on that. You know, I can absolutely be 100% sure, but I used to love, you know, getting up, going, getting on a train, reading my newspaper on my way into work each day. It was so much better. And I
could take that over
a drive or a bus or whatever.
It's true. Michael, No, you're right. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. We got a break. We'll take a break. Robert and Bill, stay on the line. We'll keep this conversation going about light rail in the Twin Cities here on Drive Time with Drive Time or Light Rail Time with DeRussia. So many texts and calls on the issue of light rail. This is hard stuff. It would be so much easier if we had designed a light rail system before we built up the cities, right? Like, then development would follow and it all would make sense. Right now, what you have is every neighborhood group is sort of protesting, like, well, we don't want it to run down our block, or the Lindale Avenue in North Minneapolis was part of the proposed route for this. Well, they didn't want it. And then we had the issue, you know, the same deal we saw playing out in Southwest. The Southwest Light Rail Line is $1 billion over budget, nearly a decade behind schedule. This thing, to me, is just worth either waiting or tabling. A lot of you disagree. A lot of texters saying, these are investments in the future, is one text from 612. It'll take time and patience. Lots of younger folks don't have or want cars. Transit first and development follows, just like building new roads. Train system is great for students, says another texter, U of M, MCTC. That is true. That is true. As the old saying goes, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. The second best time is today. It will never be cheaper than if we start today. That is interesting, right? It's true. Now, this cost will go up and up and up, but that's what happens with if you're building your home or doing any sort of construction work. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Bill in Brooklyn Park. Bill, this light rail would potentially benefit you in the Brooklyn Park area. What do you think about it?
Well, when they were first building light rail down to the Mall of America, I remember that because I used to work at Ford down there, and I'd drive along Hiawatha all the time. And I remember them saying, we're going to start with three cars, but just for starts, but we're going to move up to five. Okay, we can do up to five cars as the ridership picks up. They're going backwards. They're going back to two.
Right, because of safety, that middle car becomes a bit of a party vibe. So they're trying to address some safety issues by going down to two.
Well, I work by the light rail now, different place, but it's pretty empty all the time.
Yeah.
And they want to run it up to Brooklyn Park to Target. Drive by Target during the day. Most of the people are working from home. I mean, Mayor Fry can't even get the people at Target downtown to come to work.
Yeah.
There's not going to be anybody from Target. And what's the other big business up there? North Hennepin, they're going to run a multi-billion-dollar railroad for a junior college? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense. There is no bang for the buck. There is no reason for it. And the way the Met Council is running light rail, I used to ride it down to the VA from work, and I will not do it no more because of all the problems they're having on it, and it's not getting taken care of.
Yeah. Bill, you're right. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hal, in a car, you're on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Hal, do you want this thing to be stopped, or do you want it to keep rolling down the track? Hal, you there? Dan's checking. Looks like we may have lost Hal. You know, I think that's the other question where you look and say, can we stop this? And there are lots of different plans in the works. And when you're accepting federal money to help a project move at a certain point, I'm just looking. I mean, yes, the price tag is eye-popping when you hear $3 billion. My greater concern is that the world has changed the way we work. And so what are we trying to do here? what is, I mean, maybe the goal should be to get people who live in the city to come to jobs out in the suburbs. Maybe that's more how it'll be used. I don't know. But considering how many stops there are along these routes, and the fact is, like, our metro isn't that big. So as someone who lives in Maple Grove, am I going to drive to the train station, wait for the train, get on a train? Not as long as parking only costs $150 or $200 a month. You look and say, I don't know if it's worth that amount of time. What I can do in 25 minutes is going to take me an hour. Lots of texts coming in as well. There used to be trolleys within the metro area many years running down many streets. They were ripped out in favor of cars. Yeah. I think there's some move to bring back some of the trolley. You think like transit, improving transit within the city where people are relying less on cars. Like that intra-city transit to me is super interesting. But the idea of like schlepping people from Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Maple Grove into the city, I just don't know that that makes a ton of sense. Hal is back. We had a little glitch with our phone, but thanks for calling back, Hal. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jason. I just want to tell a short story about the Blue Line when it was created, what, 15 years ago or more.
Yeah.
I was one of the exhibitors as a volunteer at the 46th and Hiawatha Station. And a gentleman came up on his bike and said, you know, I don't get why we have to spend all this money. Was this Jesse Ventura's little toy train that he wanted to create? And it's wasting a lot of money.
Right.
And I just said, stop for a second. Do you ever go to the airport or to the Mall of America or even some of the Hope Motels out on 484? And he says, well, yeah, we go there and I have family that come in and out of town. And I said, who's taking care of the infrastructure, cleaning, making beds, serving people at these various locations, doing the retail jobs and the maintenance and custodial jobs that most of us, our kids or us, we don't want to do that. Somebody else does. I said, that's what's bringing people out to that airport.
True.
They're on at 5 o'clock in the morning and they're going to work. So you just said this a few moments ago. Maybe it's to bring people in for the purpose of employment. And I think that's one of the great benefits.
Very good. Good call. I'm glad you called back, Hal. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for the feedback, for the comments. We for sure will talk about this more as this thing either rolls on or you see maybe more of a movement to put the brakes on it. It's 3:30. We are going to put the brakes on this segment and come back with one of my absolute favorites, a true comedy pioneer, a local, I don't want to say legend because she might be listening, but Liz Winstead will be with us in studio, a new documentary on some of her work over the last couple of years. We'll be screening at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival this weekend. Can't wait to talk to Liz and the documentarian Ruth Lightman in just a minute here on CCO.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm so excited to talk with Liz Winstead and Ruth Lightman. You guys know Liz Winstead. Home is Minneapolis, but she has taken the nation by storm. Her comedy career has just been incredible when you look at the people that you've introduced to the world, different things you've started up. And it's so good to see you, Liz.
Jason, it's so good to see you. I never get to see you anymore.
We used to talk on Twitter back in the day when it was just like a couple of dorks on there.
When it was fun. And we do hashtag games. And, you know, it was before After Midnight was a show. We were just the show.
We were the show.
And we just had fun. And then, you know, now it feels like a toxic waste heap. And that's sad.
It is. It is. It feels. I feel like I must have a masochistic bent that I still am playing in that horrible sandbox.
Well, I think sometimes it's fun just to see how creative people can get with how much they hate you. It's like, well, that's an interesting twist on a death threat.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, there was a stretch where people were posting photos from, like, Google photos from my house, the exterior of my house. My wife really liked that.
Yeah, I love that, too. Or my dog. Or, like, oh, here was me at an event that this person was at. And you're just like, oh, fun.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder, like, if I were still anchoring the morning news, where you're just, you know, just Jason on the news. Like, I was more outspoken than your regular local news person who is, you know, comes from the generic product factory. But still, like, I was a lot more vanilla than, like, here where I get to talk for 3 hours.
Right.
Like, would people be this mean to me as local news guy? Probably still yes.
Well,
I don't know.
It's interesting because I feel like...
And most people are nice, like, just to be clear. And
yes.
I'm sure your experience is similar, yes?
My experience is similar. I also am someone who... I went into this, if I'm going to have opinions about politics, and especially about, you know, sort of lightning rod issues, I knew I was going to get, you know,
course.
It's like, oh, anybody, if you're me and then you're like, I can't believe how mean people
Why is
are.
It? Yes.
What a monster.
No.
You know,
right.
That would be me being not with the program. But I do.
There's a difference, though, between expecting like pushback and anger and like vitriol.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. I guess people wanting to harm you.
Yeah.
Is like some next level stuff.
It feels like a little beyond.
It does.
A little beyond.
It's beyond the pale.
Ruth Lightman is here, who has just directed a documentary called No One Asked You. Ruth, so good to have you with us.
Jason, great to be here. I'm from Philadelphia, but this is the best Midwestern city.
Wow.
So thank you for having me.
Is Philadelphia the Midwest?
No.
No.
It's not even
is
the Mideast.
Cleveland no. the Midwest?
No.
No.
What
no,
about
but
what,
Minneapolis?
Austin, Texas.
No. Used to be cool.
Wow.
Now Alex Jones has taken over. So, you know.
We are the coolest Midwest city, I think. Chicago is close,
down.
But it's different.
It is. Minneapolis hands down the coolest. Like, Ruth lives in Chicago. So.
I live in Chicago.
Oh, I grew up in Chicago.
Minneapolis is where it's at.
I stayed here. I love it here.
It's,
you've stayed here, Liz. You still have a place in New York, right?
I have a place in New York and a place here, yeah. So I split my time because I'm one of those people that I'm never a person that's like, I need to unplug and just go into a cabin in the woods. I like to dial it back. And like Minneapolis is that dial back place. Good food, music's awesome, tons of friends here. You know, you can have yard. You can have a yard.
It's
you
nice,
can say
right?
bag.
You can say bag for sure. You, Dara Grumdahl did a beautiful story on you at
Wasn't
Minneapolis
that nice
St. Paul
of
Magazine.
Her?
And I know, like, I know your comedy hits, your career. But when she put this in one paragraph, and I just want to read a little bit because to me, just seeing it in one place was like, holy crap. Dara writes, she plucked Stephen Colbert from his work as a wry but straight morning television news reporter. She also launched Steve Carell. Jon Stewart uses the format she conjured up based on her obsession with television news. Winstead lifted a morning DJ in Massachusetts named Rachel Maddow from obscurity on Air America. On and on and on and on. It's pretty crazy.
It is. You know, and I often say to people, like, I just, one of the greatest things that I feel like I can rely on is my instinct. And so I'm like, you know, if we're talking Harry Potter, I'm definitely Gryffindor. Like, I will jump into the fire. Like, if I have an idea, I get very, and this is kind of bad for teamwork, but I'm very much like, that idea is good. Stop talking. Let's move on that idea. Like, we don't need to bat around anymore.
You can sense it.
And I can sense it in the moment. I feel fairly fearless. And I think it's why I love like responding to the news. And I think that's why my comedy has been stand-up and Daily Show and Air America. Like, I wrote a book and it was like Death by a Thousand Cuts. Not fun. Takes forever to come out. Like, I think movie making, Ruth, you know, you've been making a movie for 7 years. So the torture of that, that just seems terrible. Yeah.
Ruth, talk about what drew you to Liz and drew you to following her efforts, really talking about abortion rights, women's rights, through comedy and through entertaining and shows.
Well, I've always been a big fan of Liz's, knew her work forever. And then in 2012, when she was traveling around with Liz for Your Die, her book of essays, I met her on the road at Netroots Nation, which is best of grassroots organizing on the net. And then cut to 4 years later after Trump was elected. And, you know, I knew that things were going to get a whole lot worse around abortion access. And I wanted to follow the people who really understood just exactly how bad things were going to get. And I think it was really important to just sort of attach our wagon to abortion access front, because we need levity and humor in this fight. And so
abortion is not often the topic that people think that you can approach in a way that isn't either.
It's not like an airline food joke.
Yeah, right.
No.
It's cats
and dogs are different.
Right.
You know, not
no.
really. But I think the levity part, what I like to say to people when they're saying humor with abortion, how does that work? And I say it's everybody's experience is different with how they deal with pregnancy. You talk to anybody who's been through things, and anybody who's been through things that are hard, there's always finding humor. In my book, I talk about how my parents both set up something funny in their death so that we would remember that. You know, gallows humor are real. Yeah. I didn't invent that, right?
Well, but you were raised Catholic, right?
Oh, yeah.
Was I. And funerals were some of my favorite memories, which sounds sick, but like...
Because there's
the drunk uncle
would show up. Oh, my God. Always a crisis. Somebody wailing. All of a sudden, you know, people who... relatives had affairs with or lining at the casket. You're like, who are these women? Oh, who knew? Oh, another family. Wow. So you find out a lot. But I do think, too, that as we are looking at the state of abortion access right now, and especially the bad actors, like when you literally have a politician who is making a law to ban all abortion in their state, and they stand up on the floor of the state house and they say, why can't a woman just swallow a camera to get her gynecological exam?
Yeah.
I have to
This really happened.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, well, you need to be put up on a pedestal for shame and ridicule. And so I think exposing the unserious people who are trying to legislate through comedy is huge. Also, it's a tool to bring people together to have conversations. So when we travel around the country and do comedy and music shows, you know, we have part of our show always is having a conversation with the local abortion providers and the activists. So I got 400 people in a room. They're hearing what's going on locally. They're like, how can I help? You can help right here. These people are going to tell you. They sign up. We're growing activist bases at every stop. So humor's not only a tool for the levity and the sort of recharging. It's also a tool for organizing in a profound way.
All right, I want to take a break. I want to ask Ruth what the biggest surprise was for her in this 8-year journey of following Liz and her efforts. And also talk a little bit about, you know, these efforts can become very preaching to the choir. So how do you expand sort of your audience? So we'll talk about both of that. Plus, share your chance to see the documentary this weekend as part of the MSPIF, Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival. More with Liz Winstead and Ruth Lightman here on Drive Time. This weekend is when you can see the documentary No One Asked You, directed by Ruth Lightman, focusing on Liz Winstead. The Saturday screening is sold out, but they may have rush line tickets. So if you want to line up and check on that. And then Sunday, 2 p.m., tickets still available for that at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival. Liz, you've seen the movie? You've seen the documentary?
I've seen it like 7 times.
One for every year.
Yeah.
How is it?
You know,
is it weird? Like,
it is weird. You know, I mean, the just superficial weirdness is like my hair is 75 different colors and I've weighed 75 different weights.
Of course.
And
through the COVID years, like all sorts of stuff happened.
Yeah, a lot of sorts of stuff happened. But what I'm so excited about that, you know, when somebody understands what you're trying to do and they can capture that, and the film really captures what we do and really captures, more importantly, why we do it, because the people who are providing this care and who are under attack and who are doing a lot of things were without support, full stop. And so to be able to learn about who they are and how people can get involved, it's a buddy film. It's a film about reinventing activism so you can see yourself in it. And it's a film about what happens when you know, people are struggling and without access to care they need. And so
is there movement out there, you think? Are people open to being convinced on the issue of abortion, maybe more than sort of the media dialogue about abortion would have you believe?
I would say maybe a little bit more now. I think now that white ladies had their IVF threatened and rich people had some things threatened, you know, it always used to be like, well, I can always travel to a different place. And that's not really the case anymore. So there's been a reinvention of people who actually thought that they couldn't be touched by this. Hmm. And I think they really understood that these laws were really not about abortion, but they were about control. And I think that people don't like that. So there is a movement of people getting more active, changing people's minds. I don't know. Getting more active? Absolutely.
So that's more of the goal, the people who are on board but not really doing anything.
That's exactly right. And didn't understand that they needed to. I think that people said, Roe v. Wade's the law of the land. What could go wrong? And what could go wrong is that it was wrongly decided. It was the crumbs of actual equality. And it wasn't solidified in any real way for people. So that's where we need to go now. It's beyond Roe. So when I hear Joe Biden say, we need to codify Roe, I'm like, we need to go beyond Roe, actually.
How do you feel when you look at your home state, where Minnesota is?
I'm so proud. I'm so proud of how Minnesotans have fought back, how they've elected people who are champions for bodily autonomy, and how I've always been proud of Minnesota's commitment to, you know, equality across the board. And so it's one of the reasons that I'm so excited to be back.
It was so fun spending time with you guys. Good luck this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the chance to see the documentary. Ruth, congratulations.
Thank you, Jason.
It's great to meet you. Liz, always good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you, guys. We'll break. We'll do news. Serdix, the family history, 90 years. They join us in studio next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.